Last week, we talked about the concept of envy. And this week, I want to talk about one that's oftentimes related to it and oftentimes confused with it. And that's the idea of jealousy. Jealousy is the idea of basically vigilantly guarding a person's possessions, where you want to hold on to what is yours. The Greek word for that is zelos, and it literally means heat. And you actually can see that even in the Old Testament, they also used the idea of zeal and jealousy in a related form. Take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 24. It says, the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. There's a parallel being made there between jealousy and a consuming fire. And that's the idea of what jealousy is. It's a strong emotion. It's a passion. It's a desire to hold on to what is yours for your own personal use. Now, sometimes in our language, we interchange the idea of envy and jealousy. Envy is wanting what somebody else has, thinking that it belongs to you, you deserve to have it. And the reason why we mix the two terms up is because sometimes we're jealous of things that really don't belong to us. We want to hold as our own possession, thinking that this belongs to us, and it really doesn't. Husband, for instance, might believe he alone should be the focus of his wife's attentions. And so he might be jealous then when his wife pays attention to someone else, maybe like the kids or somebody else that happens to be coming by, or a friend. He then would be envious of others who holds his wife's attention. And so oftentimes what we find is envy and jealousy kind of go hand in hand. Now, sometimes jealousy is used in a good sense. We already saw that it mentions that God says that he is a jealous God. Take a look in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 5. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and third and fourth generation of those who hate me. God says he's a jealous God. Well, why is that? Well, the passages like in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4 tells us that all souls belong to God. We are God's possessions. God says he's jealous of his possessions. He will work hard to retain what belongs to him exclusively. We're not to share our time with other gods or make idols out of other things like money or whatever we might put as our treasure possession. We ought to see that God is ours alone. And God says he's a jealous God. He will work towards holding on to what belongs to him. For instance, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot blend the two ideas. We can't hold on to two different gods at the same time. God understands that. And so we are set apart as people for God's own possession. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Every once in a while my tongue gets twisted and it just will not. I know which way it ought to go and it won't do it. I can't tame my tongue this morning, I guess. At least not for that word. We got to understand, we are God's people. God has purpose in mind for us. God wants us to do His will. So God says He's a jealous God. He won't share us with the things that we make up ourselves. And similarly, preachers and elders also might be jealous as well, because they are working to hold on to what belongs to God. That's what, how Peter, or not Peter, Paul used it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. When he's defending his apostleship, in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, it says, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband, that to Christ, that I might present you as a pure virgin. But I'm afraid lest the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." Paul says, I'm jealous for you. I'm hanging on to where you are, trying to not let you get off into sin, because I reign for your betrothal to Christ. One husband. Can't let you going off seeing other people, other gods, doing sinful things. And even between a husband and wife, the love of a husband and wife can be described as a jealous love properly. In Song of Solomon, chapter 8. Song of Solomon, chapter 8. Starting with verse 6, it says, "Put me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death, jealousy as severe as Sheol. The flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, nor will rivers overflow it. If a man will give all the riches of his house for love, it would be utterly despised." Here's a description of love. A husband does not want to share the love of his wife with another man, nor would a wife want to share the love of her husband with another woman. It's an exclusive relationship in that sense. The marriage vows make that relationship exclusive. And what's being described here is just like death doesn't give up the people who is in the grave very easily. Love ought not to lose hold of the one who belongs to it. And not too many people come back from the grave once they go there. But so many people, and especially in our society today, give up on their marriages way too easy. It should be a jealous love, holding on to it like death. But sometimes we also use jealousy, and the Bible talks about jealousy in a bad sense. In a book that we read earlier in 2 Corinthians, we read from chapter 11. Let's go look at chapter 12. And we'll see the word jealousy being used in a bad sense. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 20. Paul says, "For I'm afraid that perhaps when I come and find you, you may not be what I wish, and be found by you not to be what you wish. That perhaps there may be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. I'm afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and have not repented of impurity and morality and sensuality which they have practiced. Paul's saying, I'm kind of afraid what I'm going to find when I get there. He already said that he's trying to hold on to them, keep them from sin. But he says, one of the things I'm worried about is I'm going to find jealousy there. See, jealousy can be get out of control. There are times when it's appropriate emotion, but there are times when it's wrong. Just like anger, sometimes there's appropriate times when one ought to be angry. But too often we let anger get way out of control. Take a look at Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27 and verse 4. Wrath is fierce and anger is a flood. But who can stand before jealousy? These are emotions that sometimes they're appropriate times, but when it gets out of control, it's like a flood. It's like a dam that's suddenly bursting. And all of a sudden you got too much. It needs to be controlled. Anger is not wrong in itself, but the Bible teaches us to keep a very tight lid on it. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Be angry and yet do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. There are times when it's appropriate to be angry, but don't let it overwhelm you. If you have to be angry, don't let it be an excuse to sin. That's what oftentimes what ends up happening is people hold it back, they hold it back, and then it just suddenly bursts forth, and then they have no control. And they do a lot of things they ought not to do if they weren't so angry. Jealousy is the same type of thing. Jealousy is often associated with people who are out of control. People who are arguing, bickering. Take a look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 13. Let us behave properly in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. It's often paired with strife. Because when a person doesn't control their jealousy, it often brings about arguments. Take a look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3, starting with verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And a seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Jealousy spent on oneself causes all sorts of problems. It's of this world, not of God. See, at times we become jealous of things, like we said before, of things we don't possess. Husband-wife love, as we mentioned, is exclusive, but that some take it too far. In their doubts about their own relationship, then they want everything for their own. Want their spouse's attention all the time, all the friendship. That's why you find, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and in verse 4, in that description and list about what love is, what love is not. It says, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. When somebody is in love, they ought to be confident that they hold the other person's love. And every little thing ought to not be an occasion to be an argument about whether or not that other person is actually loyal to you or not. That's jealousy out of control. We can see this also in other relationships. For instance, the leaders of the Jews, they were jealous over the loyalty of the people to themselves. They thought they had exclusive rights to the loyalty of the people in their nation. Take a look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 16. It says, and also the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. But the high priest arose up along with his associates, that is, the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. What was wrong? Other people were becoming popular with the people. Hey, that belongs to us. That's exclusive to us. No, it isn't. No one can say they hold the rights to the popularity of the people exclusively to themselves. But they became jealous. They actually went to the point of saying, you can't teach God in God's name. And these people were doing good. They're healing people, helping them. But their jealousy got in their way. Part of the problem with the Corinthians as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. They were dividing over who they were going to follow. Arguing about whether they're going to follow Paul or Peter or Jesus, as if they taught anything differently. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 3, it says, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul, servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord has given opportunity to each one? Paul's scolding them. This is ridiculous. How can you guard and say, I'm exclusively following one person? And say, hey, you can't go listen to that preacher over there because this is the one we follow. That's jealousy out of control. As he points out, it brings about strife and arguments. Because a person who's acting in that manner is not thinking correctly. We don't belong to men. Men don't belong to us, not in that sense. We have to understand there are certain times when it's proper to say that we need to hold on to what does belong to us. But we need to use our heads and realize that everything doesn't belong to us. Jealousy, like anger, is an emotion that has to be tightly controlled. It has its place. But all too often, we let it get out of control and out of hand. I have a brief lesson for this morning, but I hope it'll be one that makes a point. Tonight we're going to talk about Haman in the book of Esther, because he illustrates makes an excellent illustration of jealousy and envy getting out of control. So we're going to talk about that tonight. But for right now, we'd like to offer an opportunity. If there's anyone here today who is not a child of God, there is no better time than we have when we're together to do what the Lord has commanded. There's an opportunity here today that if there's anyone who wishes to become a child of God, you may do so. If there's anyone here who is a child of God, would like the prayers of the brethren on behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing this song that's selected.